It's 8:24 on the ticket, and it's time to start the Great Musers Wine Tasting Challenge of 2010.
I need to twit pick what's going on in here, man. There are glasses set up everywhere, and awesome. We are ready. I'm going to dominate this event.
All right, a quick recap. This got started after the story of the Dez Bryant $55,000 Cowboys rookie dinner. Is that right?
Right.
Because they bought some really expensive bottles of wine, and we just started scatter shooting. Well, how can you really tell the difference between this bottle and that bottle?
Yeah, yes. There was one report, you know, they were buying like $3,000 bottles of wine. And George made the claim that there really is no difference between a $3,000 bottle and a box of wine.
And now we got people who are going to jam it in my face and say that, there pretty much is.
Now, Republic National Distributing Company has been so kind as to bring up a host of wines here. I mean, we've got sparkling wines, we've got red wines, and they've developed these challenges that we're going to go through. Now, who do we have here who's going to be the spokesperson? This is Eric.
Yep. Yes.
This is Eric Sanchez, who's the statewide marketing manager for the company I mentioned. Now,
big
Eric,
sponsors, by the way.
Big sponsors.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
So you guys hear us talking like idiots about wine on the air.
And other things.
And you decided to take it upon yourself to develop a challenge for us to put our mouths, which we're mouthing off, to the taste test.
That's correct.
All right. So the first challenge we're going to take here, tell us about it. It's called the Craig Jr. Miller Sparkling / Champagne Challenge.
That's correct. Craig is a big hero of...
Get right in that mic, yeah. Eric.
Okay.
Craig?
I'm a big hero? It's the first time I've heard that.
Lance Armstrong is his big hero.
Okay.
Anyway, he talked about the champagne, and then you had the discussion about the champagne in the celebratory Major League Baseball.
Oh, right. Sure.
So I thought, okay, that'll be a good tie-in for
okay.
Craig.
Okay.
So that's where we kind of came up with the name for it.
So you guys have these tasting mats down there. And there are three circles on the mats, and on each circle is placed a nice, fine glass of sparkling wine. Now, are any of these actual champagne, or are these just sparkling wines that we're having here?
Two are sparkling, and one is champagne.
Okay, and champagne refers to one that's actually from the region
in France. From the region in France, correct.
All right. So, we've got to taste these. Now, I'm looking down at these, and we've got a $7 bottle of champagne.
Correct.
We have a $13 bottle of champagne.
Correct.
And a $60 bottle of champagne.
Yes, very appropriate for the music.
No way
right
Gordo
now.
Knows any difference between them.
And looking at, we don't know which is which. This is going to be a blind taste test.
Exactly.
All right, you boys ready?
They all seem
all right,
to be bubbling the same, by the way. Does that matter? Is there a bubble test here that we should be looking at?
No bubble test. This is all just based on quality and taste.
All right, first of all, do either of you guys think you're champagne or sparkling wine experts?
No,
do you know much about it?
Yes. I like Vouvet Clicquot.
Oh,
I mispronounced it. But
he's latched to one name, and therefore he thinks he's an expert.
Yeah, I think I might be able to tell the difference between a really good wine and a really bad wine. Not that you guys have bad wine, but, you know, a lesser wine. But I don't know that I'm going to be able to tell the difference here.
I like sparkling wines. I think they're good. I like Prosecco. Do you like that?
Love Prosecco.
Yeah.
Very, very popular wine this year.
Okay.
Yeah, it is getting popular.
Do we go in order, and do we need to cleanse our palate between wines? Okay.
Shall I bring some sausage, too?
Sausage? All right.
Classy.
All right. Users, raise your glass.
Number one.
All right, start with number one.
Don't drink it like a shot glass, Gordo. Good night.
Okay. Interesting.
Right.
That interests me.
I'm going to number two now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And then number three.
That interests me as a wine consumer.
Okay. I'm writing down my answers here.
You've already had all three?
Yeah. I've already finished all three. Are you supposed to shoot the whole thing? Or, I mean, these are full glasses.
There will be no spit buck needed for Gordon.
Mm-mm. Oh, wait a second.
Do we have buckets if we want to spit?
Yeah, there's spit buckets here.
So
Gordon's
two of
choosing
them
to swallow, but I may spit here in a second.
Huh. Fascinating.
No, only one is champagne, right?
All right.
Yes, two only one is champagne. Two are sparkling.
I get this so right. This is wonderful.
Golly.
Let me hammer down a little more here.
I'm already getting a little buzzed. Can I tell you guys what I did to this girl in college?
Don't start admitting things yet.
Oh, not yet? Okay.
Wait till about the third test, then we'll all start just letting it go.
Okay, I've got my answers. You guys got your answers?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
All right.
Yes, I have my answers, Gordon.
Okay, of the three glasses that we've tasted here, this beautiful sparkling wine and champagne, the first one is the $13 bottle of wine.
Okay. That's your choice?
Yes. All right. What did you guys have?
I say number one is the $6.99.
That's
okay,
what
the
I
cheapest.
Said.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. You guys got the cheapest. I got the $12.99. What's the correct answer?
Craig?
I said it's the cheapest. It's the $6.99.
That's actually the most expensive one. That is the Bollinger.
Oh,
wow. That's the $60 bottle?
Really?
Number one.
Man. We all rated it pretty low.
Yeah, it's a lot sweeter. Is that what it's supposed to be? Is right?
Yeah, I noticed that. That's what made me think it was cheaper.
Yeah, they just put sugar in it.
Yeah.
God, I knew I was going to suck at this.
It's French in style, so it's got some oak age on it and the way it's processed.
Mm-hmm. And
so,
that's typical French. Sparkling wine,
that's
not champagne.
That's typical mm-hmm. champagne.
Mm-hmm. And typical French, too. Expensive, but it's really cheap.
Jeez, George.
What?
All right, now, for the second one, I had that one as the cheapest. I had that as the $7 bottle of champagne.
Okay.
Craig?
I had that as the most expensive, and I thought that was the champagne and okay. not the sparkling
okay.
wine.
I had that as the mid-range. That is the $12.99.
George is correct.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Now, the third one.
And that was that champagne, by the way?
That was sparkling. That was Korbel.
I'm wrong all the way around.
Okay, and then the third one, which is the cheapest, is the $7 bottle of champagne by elimination here.
We like to say value.
Okay, it is the greatest value. I had that at $60, and it is a $7 bottle.
I had that mid-range, $12.99.
I had it as the most expensive, too. It is great value. I'm going to have some more of this. This is awesome.
So we were wrong on every single one of
them. And what is that? What is number three?
That is Cook's Brut.
Cook's Brut, $12.99, and that's the one that they thought was the best.
That's Joe's carbonated wine.
Oh, $6.99, sorry.
And it just shows you that's what I'm used to drinking. That tasted the most familiar to me.
All right, our second challenge
okay.
here. Where are we going? We're going to do Cabernet next?
Cabernet okay. next.
So we all oh, basically completely
just,
failed that one, right?
Just wasting these bottles.
That's all right.
We're continuing
we'll
with the Republic National Distributing Company's wine challenge. Okay, this is going to be George Jub Dunham's Clueless Cabernet Sauvignon Wine Challenge.
Now, this is more my wheelhouse. I'll get
You're
these.
A cab guy.
I'm
going to
get
yeah.
these right.
Yeah, now I'm a cab guy too. Cab's my favorite. I always end up going out with women who just they just mainline champagne.
Yeah.
But I like the Cabernet.
Now, okay,
these are all California wines now.
All right,
so okay. nothing Texas or anything along those
okay.
lines. So we wanted some consistency. And kind of be able to promote the different regions where these wines are made.
Now, I feel like I'll be able to taste the tannins in this.
There'll
and may have a slight reaction to that.
All right, so we have a $160 bottle, a $28 bottle, and a $6 bottle.
That is correct.
Okay. All California cabs.
Wait,
California
hold on a second. We got a $160 mm. bottle in here?
Yes. Yep.
I've never had that big time of wine, I don't think.
Save some for me.
Okay.
I think Norm has.
Can we do the...
We're swirling.
I'm smelling the bouquet right now. Is that a good thing to do?
That's a good thing to do.
Thank you. All right, here we go. Mm.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
You know what? I think I'm blasted.
I want to make love to George right now.
No, that means you're not blasted.
What?
All right, that was interesting. Now, number one.
Yeah.
Okay. Fascinating.
Hold on a second.
Number one tasted like a red wine.
Okay. See, these guys are clueless. They don't have
it
the palate that
like
I do
a cab.
Here. Yeah.
Some sort of cab, I would say.
There's no Ooh. Doubt I'm going to sleep with my friend's wife after the show.
I feel the urge to text someone, to sext someone, very uh-huh. racy.
You're slurring a little, Junior.
He is.
I feel the
I
urge
to text somebody.
Sext someone.
I think I'm going to nail this.
Who are you talking about, Eric?
No, I was talking about the wine.
Well, Eric loved that one, wasn't it?
Scored really high.
He's up
him.
For it.
Are we going to be capable? Are we capable of finishing the show after this?
Oh, yeah.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
All right. Boy, this wine's going great with my McMuffin.
I still think y'all should have brought up some sausage. I think that would have been perfect.
I've got this
one. I got it.
Are you ready for me? Boy, Craig is still plowing through these three glasses. These are big old glasses you guys pour. And you guys did bring a spittoon for us, but none of us are using it.
Yep. I got to go bucket next. I can't take any more wine.
It is completely empty still.
Really? All of these.
Really?
Hey, George.
Hmm?
You're like a couple bucks. I'm trying to get to Houston. I need gas money. All right,
hey,
here we go.
I said earlier, I'm sorry, man.
The Jub Jub Dunham Clueless Cabernet Challenge. Yep. All right, we have a $160 bottle, we have a $28 bottle, and we have a $6 bottle of Cabernet. Now, I got this right. Glass number one was the $160 bottle. Okay. Craig, what did you get?
I said glass number one was the $160 bottle.
All right. George?
I said it was the five.
Well, you might be right. You might be right.
He's already laughing. Right. Giggling.
He's so drunk.
Okay. I have number two as the $6 bottle of Cabernet.
Okay.
I have that as the $30 bottle, or the $28 bottle.
Yeah. I have that as the Big Kahuna. I have that as the $159.99.
Okay.
Number two.
Okay, right. And I have number three as the $28 bottle. Okay.
And I've got that as the cheap one, the $6 bottle. Sorry, the good value.
Yes. And I'm with you, Gordo. I have it as the $28.
Okay.
All right, for the first one, unfortunately, is the Sanctuary. That's the $27.99.
Dang it. I had it as the $160
I think
bottle.
George got the number two one, right? Because I debated it was one or two was the $160 bottle.
And the second one I had as the cheapest bottle.
George lived up to the Cabernet Clueless Challenge at $160.
Very good.
What
number
is up?
Two.
That swill?
No, I thought that was
much
really
more
good,
rich.
Too.
Yeah. That's why that's I just figured it was the most expensive. That just
well, congratulations to Craig for the number three.
I got that right.
Which is the cheapest?
See, I know my cheap wine.
Sutter Home.
I know cheap wine.
Yeah, Craig's an expert at gas station wine.
So wait a minute.
All right,
George,
so wait,
you got one
right,
and I got one right, and Gordon, the self-proclaimed cab expert, didn't get one right.
You didn't get one right in the first
round
either.
No, I know it. I'm 0 for 6.
I'm 2 for 6. Are you 1 for 6? Are you 2 for 6?
I think I'm 1 for 6.
And George is 2 for 6?
I'm 2 for 6. Yeah. I'm the wine idiot, and I'm leading this competition.
Oh, my gosh. This is embarrassing.
This is great. Let's keep going.
You know what made my decision? I thought number 1 and 2 both tasted like really, really good wines, but I went with number 1 because it had the better legs, you know, when you did the wine.
See, that doesn't matter. Who cares about that?
Well, I thought that would tip
you off. Working with you on I'm a gay man.
See what's coming out?
Oh, my God.
When he's
oh,
drunk.
My God. That just came out of my... I'm so sorry.
When he's drunk, the truth comes out.
I'm so sorry.
All right, it's 8:37 on the ticket. Coming up next, we continue the Muser's Wine Tasting Challenge of 2010. I think we're going to get Norm in here,
yeah,
who claims to be a Merlot expert, and we're going to have the Norm Witches Merlot Witches Pinot Noir Challenge.
I can't wait to take that haughty bastard down.
Stick it up your tailpipe!
Still have a couple of problem spots working in Plano. This report a service of NorthTexasHondaDealers.com. Bush Turnpike westbound approaching 75 Central and accidents allowing only the right lane to get by your parking lot from Lookout Drive. Tollway southbound at West Park Boulevard. We have a new... Oh, this is my bike. Oh, okay, there you go. Slowing things down from 121, Richardson, 75 southbound at Renner Road. That wreck has cleared. You're unwinding from the Spring Creek Parkway. In Grapevine, eastbound 114 at Highway 26, disabled vehicle has cleared. You're unwinding from Kimball. And in Mesquite, northbound 635 past Oates, an accident blocking both the left and HOV lanes. You're jammed from Highway 80. For the North Texas Tollway Authority, I'm Alexis with the tickets. Ticket up. Gordon, I hate you.
What? I've had a few in me.
I'm joined the club.
Yeah.
Stick it up your tailpipe traffic.
Yeah, what are you doing after?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
All right, the Hardline's going to be out on Friday at the Blackfriar Pub in Uptown Dallas.
The African-American Friar Pub.
Be doing exactly what we're doing this morning, and that's drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the midst of the 2010 Muser's Wine Tasting Challenge. Thanks to the guys from Republic National Distributing. They've brought a bunch of wine, champagne up here. We've had rounds one and two complete in the books, and we just determined during the break that we've each had more than one glass of wine, so we are a little tipsy on the air right now.
Yeah, yeah. We are, but we're doing this as a service to the P1s.
Right.
And
it's a public service.
Just,
Gordon just proposed that we slam these last three glasses and get really drunk to make for an entertaining final hour.
I think we should.
We're going to drunk dial in Gordo's Corner.
Yeah, in Gordo's Corner, we're going to drunk dial Deucey or something. Hey, Deuce, what's going on?
You've all suspected me. Users of TUI.
Well, it's Norm.
Hey, it's Norm.
Hey, Norm, what's going on?
Lance, how are you?
What's up? Sit down, man. Sit down.
Yeah,
what
Norm,
you want?
Norm joins us for the final challenge and also from Republic National. Jug Rolick, is that how you pronounce your last
name? Very good.
Named
Thank
after,
you.
I think, the Lions Hall of Famer, right?
Yes, sir. Very
Jug
few people know
Gerard.
That.
So Jug's going to walk us through this final challenge, which is the Norm Hitzke's Is It Merlot or Is It Pinot Noir Challenge.
Very, very few people can get this right, but with Norm here, I have no doubt he will get it correct.
Yeah,
and
Norm,
there's no inexpensive wines in this group.
Okay, now tell us about how much these wines are, these three wines that we are going to blindly taste test.
There's no wine less than $50 in the test.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. So don't dog any of them.
Well, and see, now I feel like I can't just leave them here. I need to drink all of these.
We'll leave you a couple.
I'm about 5 minutes away from going on a Mel Gibson rant.
I'd like to tell you my taste buds have never been in that range, sir, so... This is unknown territory.
No, that's not true.
That's
in
not
fact,
true.
You were brought in for this challenge, Norm, because we always hear about your trip. Every year you go to the draft and you go to One If By Land and have some Merlot.
Oh, yeah.
And so you are the Merlot expert.
Cordo.
Yes.
All right.
Cordo. All right, boys.
What's the difference? What's the difference between Pinot Noir and Merlot? What's the difference?
There's no difference. So. The spelling.
Okay. Hey, I've got a question for Jug before we take this challenge.
Absolutely. Jug or Jug?
Jug.
Okay.
The movie Sideways, when he said, I'm not going to have another blanking Merlot, did that hurt the Merlot industry?
Yes, and it was great for the Pinot Noir business.
Really? Oh, yeah, because that's what they were into.
It did.
Has Merlot come back?
It has. It's finally made its way back to where it was before that movie, but it absolutely affected the business.
Wow. I'd like to take credit for that, sir.
Yeah, thanks to Norm.
I'm Merlot coming back.
Without Norm, it would not be where it is today.
I'm a Pinot Noir guy, too.
Pinot.
He's starting to slur and get chatty.
As long as he's not a high school
teacher. Don't talk as much.
Don't get handsy.
Just let the game come to you a little bit.
All right, so we have two Merlots and one Pinot Noir. Okay. We're supposed to tell the difference.
I'm going to go to spitting, by the way.
I'm not.
Weak.
I'm going to swallow. I'm drunk enough to swallow.
One, two, three.
Okay, how many times has Gordon said that on a Friday night?
That was too good to say.
Walk into a club and announce that?
Boy, that was a good wine.
That was
number
nice.
One.
Number one. I'm going to stick with that a few more sips.
Norm has yet to even taste his wine. He's just looking at it.
Yeah, looking at it and smelling it.
I enjoyed that.
I do too. I still haven't spit in the bucket yet.
See there?
It's too good.
So neither of you guys spit?
Huh?
That's good.
Are we all supposed to spit in the same bucket? Is it like a wine cocky?
I got a bucket over here. You got one over there.
Could I have a doggy bowl, please?
All right, I'm going to number two now.
Me too.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
All right.
I enjoyed that, but not as much as number one.
Not number three.
Oh, George is vomiting.
No, I'm not. I said spit.
I love it. I love it.
All right, I know which one's the...
I think I do, too.
Hold on.
I was about to say I know which one's the Merlot, but then I looked down and realized there's two Merlots and one Pinot Noir.
Oh, my.
All right, I got to drink them all again.
Wow. I like all three of these. These are all good wines. I can tell that.
Although I think you picked the $6.99 Cabernet.
Norm's using his nose.
Uh-oh, he's using that anteater nose of his. God, you see that? He snaked it down into the wine and swirled it around.
Everybody got various lines in life when God handed out legs or feet. I got
you get the anaconda nose.
The nose line. I got the
sneaks down in there like that monster in the trash compactor.
And I got the long Pino.
Oh, gosh. That almost knocked us off the air.
Yeah.
All right, Norm, you think you know?
Which one is the Pinot Noir?
Norm's having a hard time. I think
Norm, you're our expert. Which one's our Pinot Noir?
Doesn't drink Pinot Noir.
Correct.
Okay. But you drink a lot of Merlot.
I drink a lot of Merlot. I'm simply going to hazard a guess on number three.
Gordo?
You think that's the Pinot?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I also believe that's the Pinot Noir, which translates into black penis, I believe.
I say that number one is the Pinot.
I
say number three is the Pinot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Pinot is number two.
Nobody
got
it.
That's what I said.
Not
to my friends
of us got
off the
it
air.
Right.
Man. Sonoma Contrera, Pinot Noir.
Wow.
Dang.
You son of a bitch.
Hey, Craig.
Come on, Craig's our guest.
When did I say that?
Oh, that's shocking.
When did I say that?
I need a girl to sit in my lap facing
so
me.
So out of control.
You're telling some story about the Katy Trail.
Really?
So
yes.
These are all used.
Way to save it for this segment.
Would this Duckhorn be considered used wine?
It's not
Doug
used, and it's
here
for you.
To give us wine, and you say that to him.
We had four shots at it, and nobody got it.
Mm-mm.
Duckhorn Merlot number one and Schaefer Merlot number three. No bad wines in the group, though, guys.
Wow. Yeah,
these are good. These are all good ones.
I'll leave the good ones for Norm here.
That is amazing.
What's up? What's up with you guys?
Well, that was awesome. Thank y'all for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, we're all big P1s, too.
Are you really?
Thank you so much. God, I'm so burnt out.
As the ticket goat, Gordon, can I have your glass number one?
As the ticket goat.
You know what we're going to do?
What are we going to do?
We're going to spend a year refining our palates, and we're going to have these guys back. If you guys will come back for the 2011 Music Wine Challenge.
We'd love to.
Bring the sausage. Thanks to Republic National Distributing for bringing up the wine. Appreciate it, guys.
You want to run through get to Keto's?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Like a Whataburger. All right, it's 8:53 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. All right, do you have a dog that needs training, a young puppy, or maybe the young adult dog that's still messing around the house and making messes around the house?
Deal.
You need man's best friend. You need him for training, and you also need him for boarding while you're out of town. Thanksgiving is next week. Back off the mic just a little bit there,
that's
Roger.
That's it now.
Back off the mic just a little bit.
Back off a little bit.
All right, this is better.
That's better. All right, so if you have a dog that is misbehaving or if you have a dog that needs to be boarded while you're out of town, think Man's Best Friend, 972-988-0991. I've taken my dogs there over the years and seen great results, including Roger, the Lab Pyrenees Mix. And you can see great results with your dogs as well. Headed out of town next weekend for Thanksgiving, call Man's Best Friend for a place for your dog to stay, 972-988-0991, for a well-trained dog.
Believe me, a friend.
There we go.
Believe my dog down the man's best friend.
Right now, it's Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Texans Can Academy and Dallas Dodge.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Look
what I got in the old cup here.
You're still drinking?
Still drinking wine.
A styrofoam cup of the $7 cap.
Boy, this is going to be a long day for him.
You know the thing in philosophy that's like weird to me? How many times you heard that, Craig?
Oh, my God.
What are the stages of my buzz? Craig and I used to go out drinking all the time. Every night.
I would say you start off by being a very funny drunk. Then you go transition to being a very philosophical drunk. Then you transition into being an argumentative drunk, not in a bad way, just you really want to argue some kind of religious or philosophical point. And then stage four is complete and immediate shutdown. It'd be 1 a.m. and we'd be in the middle of some conversation about religion, and then all of a sudden he'd say, "I'm out," and he'd just get up and go into his bedroom. And that's the last.
I'm passing out.
Could have been in the middle of this really heated conversation. No, I'm gone. And he just shuts it down. So he has four stages.
Well, sometimes, though, I would get silent at the table. You'd say I'd just sit there and I'd just be staring at the candle.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Doesn't that sound fun?
Planning a mass murder.
At least I didn't make a move on you. Oh, well, there was that one.
That doesn't really count.
Off air.
We were out of state. So that doesn't count. All right. Before we get to who Eva Longoria Parker is possibly dating, a few quick hits from P1s. Airport security solution. We've been talking about these scanners that everyone's all up in arms about, and flyers are protesting, saying, hell no, we won't go into the scanner. And I think the scanners are suspicious. I told the story when I was coming back from L.A. this past weekend, and we're in line, and I'm in line with a hot girl who's with me, and it comes to us going to these scanners. They had a traditional metal detector and a scanner. Now, she's ahead of me. The metal detector is closer, and she starts walking through the metal detector like she's steps from it. And the TSA guy says, no, you go through this one.
Jeez.
And he routed her through the scanner and me through the metal detector, although naturally it would have been the exact opposite.
That makes
so is that suspicious?
Yeah.
Should they have women, as best they can tell, straight women, operating the scanner for women and men operating it for men?
Just like the pat-down.
You know what? That doesn't bother me so much. I guess if I was a woman, like if my dream came true, and I was a woman, it may bug me to have a man pat me down. But as a guy, do you are you concerned if a woman pats you down?
No.
Not really.
It doesn't bother you at all?
No. Does it bother you if you're a woman going through a scanner and you look over and the security guy looks like TC and he's lingering a bit too long on your image?
Yeah. He's fiddling with his zipper, lazily tugging something.
Jeez.
So here's a solution from P1 Michelle. Ooh, thank you, Michelle. Yay. As we've mentioned before, this is the show that welcomes the female P1. She says what you should do is have a booth that you can step in that will not x-ray you, but will detonate any explosive device you may have on your body.
That'd be
a win-win for everyone. There'd be none of this crap about racial profiling. It's just go ahead, step in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that would eliminate the long and expensive trial for someone who is trying to carry explosives onto the plane. Justice would be quick and swift. You're in the air. She said, wouldn't it be funny? You're just in the airport terminal and you just hear the muffled explosion and you just kind of keep walking.
That is the most brilliant idea I've heard in the last year.
Yeah, and then you'd immediately know as soon as you asked the guy, you know, go ahead and step into the explosive chamber.
Lily, I think I left something back at the Chili's.
Why did you assign that accent to that guy?
What accent? I was trying to do a person from Wisconsin.
Oh, you failed.
Yeah,
I did?
Good.
Really?
Jason emails about the red light cameras we were discussing. Craig and I are kind of in favor of the red light cameras because it does deter us from running through red lights.
I said keep them.
You on board too?
Mm-hmm.
So Jason says another argument against the red light cameras is cities are shortening the yellow light in order to catch people. Just to make money. And according to... Boy, this is generic. According to thenewspaper.com... Good Lord, could it be any more generic? They say that a local news investigation found that the city of Dallas depends upon shorter yellow lights to maximize red light camera profit. Of the 10 cameras that issued the greatest number of tickets in the city, 7 are located at intersections where the yellow duration is shorter than the bare minimum recommended by the by TxDOT.
Wow. That's wrong.
So they've shortened it below the legal level just to catch more red light runners.
All right, that's the first argument against the red light camera that makes sense to me.
And by the way, the second highest revenue producing camera, Greenville and Mockingbird Lane, and I can attest to that one.
That's where my wife got busted.
First of all, that green light is incredibly short there.
Yeah.
You ever try to like turn left onto Mockingbird from Greenville going north, and it turns green and two cars go and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You're done. That's all you can get through there. Ignition locks, another bit of technology that Craig and I have supported. This is where you have to blow into the cylinder.
How would you get home today?
Huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You'd have to take a cab home.
After our wine tasting challenge.
Right? Why would I have to take a cab? I got one right here. not bad stuff. You know, once you get that buzz up there good enough, price point don't matter so much.
What are you drinking?
Which one is that? Cabernet.
Well, I mean, which one?
Sutter Home. Gas station special.
Okay.
What were we doing? Are we on the air now?
Yep.
Okay. So, ignition locks.
Mm-hmm.
According to P1 Jeff in Ithaca, well, that's kind of far away. I guess he's listening online.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke. Just heard you talking about this. Starting October 1st of this year, after one DUI, you can be required to have one of these ignition locks installed. Not just in your car, but in every car registered under your name. So if you're a parent, you would have to install one on your kid's car.
Wow.
Because it's registered in your name. That's from P1 Jeff. And finally, from Mark. He says, Gordon, I worked with some guy years back that had two DWIs. He had to have one of those digital angels installed on his car. Well, the deal is he had to blow into it for it to start and then blow into it again in 20 minutes. If he did not blow into it again, the lights would start to flash and the horn would honk for 5 minutes and then the engine would shut down. Now, he worked near Northwest Highway and 35 at one of the gentlemen's clubs, and I saw him several times after drinking pay someone to blow into his digital angel. and then tear off like a bat out of hell to make it to Duncanville, where he lived. I could only think of him white-knuckling it for the last few minutes. I never found out if the thing went off and the horn started honking and the light started blinking, but it was a funny visual.
Because he had 20 minutes to make it.
Yeah, you got 20 minutes. He's got to make it to Duncanville in 20 minutes.
There's no way.
See, I never thought about that, that you have to re-up your subscription to your engine being on by blowing the thing. He said the probation officer downloaded the info once a month, plus they charge him $50 a month for the lease of the digital angel.
The angel?
That's what it's called. He said this was how it worked in 1997. He doesn't know if they've changed it since then. So that's pretty interesting. All right, now then we get to the rumor.
So what's that? You guys having a Cabernet there?
So Eva Longoria Parker and Tony Parker have split up, an announcement they made on Twitter.
Really? That's how they announced
it? I'm pretty sure that's the way she announced it, right?
Yeah, she didn't really announce it. She just confirmed it.
On Twitter.
Because all the rumors were out there, and she confirmed it on Twitter.
So they're splitting, and now we're hearing stories about Tony Parker boning the wife of a teammate, Evan... What's his name?
Brent Berry.
Brent Berry.
Oh!
Aaron Berry was her name, but apparently, although you would think that they went all the way, they only texted each other. They were in a texting relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Texting only. That's what they say.
Believe it?
Probably not.
Believe it?
Yeah, in the cynical world, probably not.
I do believe it. What do you think
really?
About that? Mm-hmm. So they're splitting. Well, now we're finding out. I guess, it was it Deadspin reported this? One of the sites has reported that, I think that's generic, one of the sites has reported that Eva Longoria is dating a very recently single Steve Nash.
I can't believe this.
Oh, no.
I don't believe this.
What NBA drama this is.
You got one... You had the, first of all, you had the LeBron mom thing.
Go back to that.
Then you have the Tony Parker with his teammate's wife. And now you have Eva Longoria, former NBA wife to Tony Parker, or I guess still right now, but soon to be former, dating Steve Nash, who left his wife...
On the birthing table.
After he cut the umbilical cord, he cut ties with his wife.
I just don't... I believe Eva Longoria would do this. I don't believe Steve Nash would do this. Would be dating her right after or while she's still married to, technically, Tony Parker.
I have a hard time believing that, too.
I don't buy that.
I'm trying to find this. Where does it say that? Please tell me that just wasn't an email.
You said it was on Deadspin?
Well, it said on one of those sites. Hold on a second.
On one of those sites, according to an email?
Where did you hear about it?
From you just 2 minutes ago.
Damn it.
Well, I heard it on email, and then I mentioned it in break, and then you said, man, I can't believe this.
Man, he will
As
say
if you
any.
Had already
oh,
heard
yeah.
it.
Maybe I had.
Wow. You've had too much to drink.
Yeah, where did I hear it then?
Well, let me take another sip.
Maybe I got the same email you did, but I didn't go public with it.
Well, this is just, I'm reporting that this is the kind of rumor that we don't need out there, okay? This is stupid and it's unfounded and untrue.
That's impressive stuff.
But it was the tease for Gordo's Corner.
So stop emailing me these rumors and rumors of rumors.
Yeah, it's. I got that same email you did. All right, let me see if I can find it.
Gossip site retracts story of Parker Longoria.
Really?
That was from 2 days ago.
See there? Okay. They should have stuck with it.
Oh, Parker Longoria, Parker, not Nash.
Not Nash Longoria, yeah. Okay.
So I don't think there's any truth to this, because the only place that we've seen it is in a one-sentence email.
Right.
Hmm.
Which some would say it's irresponsible for me to read on the air, and I would counter with yes.
But I'm drunk.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, the only stories out there online are Tony Parker and Steve Nash divorce in the same week.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
That's how they got connected, maybe.
But is there a relationship? Is there a correlation between those two?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
Okay, Twitter is all a tweeting, Jub.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is saying that we should have a drinking fest at least once a week on the air.
Could you really tell the difference between light beer and regular beer?
I think that's a great idea. We need to book it for next week.
Maybe so, maybe not.
We all got a few drinks in us and got real loose.
What, am I gay?
We could have gotten a lot looser, too. But this is the beginning.
I'm glad
of the
I went
day.
To the bucket in that final segment. Otherwise, you may have had to go to the bullpen for me.
I didn't go to the bucket at all. And Rich came in here and drank the whole bucket.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Drank the spit bucket of wine.
He'll drink anything. I got wine
in
here.
He's our wine cocky recipient.
What's going on? He came barging in here saying, give me only the cheap stuff.
Right.
And just took a whole bucket.
Took off his shirt and poured it all over his face.
Pour out.
It was nasty.
And I'm raring to go for the next ticker.
Have you guys ever been this tipsy this early in the morning?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
I knew you
about
had.
It.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're
talking
the most, about.
Yeah, remember when Rich called in from Hawaii?
That was late at night. That was 2 a.m. where I was.
Oh.
Still all right there.
The most tipsy I've ever been early in the morning was the time where Craig and I actually went on the air drunk from the night before.
That was the night you idiots were calling me from a payphone and you hung up on me twice.
Yeah.
You couldn't even operate a phone.
You said that we would call up and we wouldn't talk. We'd just be giggling.
They're laughing all, and I get a dial tone. Then you'd call back and you'd try to get the message out. I don't know if we're going to make it in the morning. And then they would hang up again.
It was a horrible miscalculation. We had just been moved to mornings. And Craig and I, at the time, this was before your marriage and before my first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And we decide, hey, you know.
Hit a happy hour.
And we were living together. We lived in that house together. And our idea was, okay, well, we get moved to mornings. All that means is we just have to start drinking earlier in the night because we were drinking every night. So we'll just start hitting happy hours. This is great. We'll even save money. So we hit a happy hour. The first evening of this experiment, by the way, we hit a happy hour. We're at the San Francisco Rose on Greenville. And we start drinking. And we're drinking. And we're drinking. Mm. And we're just having a grand old time. And then somehow, hey, you know what we should do? We should call George.
And we were like in a phone booth together, and we would every once in a while hit the hang-up thing with our elbow and hang up on George.
Yeah. First of all, it's weird that we didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
That we're using a payphone in a payphone booth, and we're getting in there like a couple of gays who are lovers, and we're calling you, and we kept hanging up on you, and we apologized.
I did not think y'all were going to make it in the next morning.
Well, that's what we were calling you about, and then we ended up showing up the next morning. And what did you say, Craig? You were looking down at your paper?
Yeah, I went to my cubicle. This is at the old building. And I put down the sports page, and I couldn't focus on it. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm still drunk. I'm not going to be able to go. I'm going to have to take a sick day because I'm drunk. And I remember going in and saying to George, I'm not going to say much for the first 30 minutes as I just pounded coffee.
Y'all were fine, though.
And then after about 30...
I was great. I was better than usual.
30 minutes, I was okay, but I've never gotten totally blasted the night before work ever since. I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
All right, so next week is light beer versus regular beer.
Yeah, and then the week after that is imports versus domestics.